today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
The focus in their prayer was, God, you know their hearts. I think that's an awesome thing. What's important isn't necessarily gifting and ability. That's important. But God looks where? God looks on the heart. How does man look on the outward appearance? When we think of a leader, we think of somebody that's tall, handsome, and good-looking, and, you know, charismatic and dynamic, and, you know, that's the leader we want. And yet God knows because he sees the heart.
The apostles had a big decision to make. Who would replace Judas? In today's message, Pastor John will talk through some of their process for selecting a new member and point out that before deciding, they consulted the Lord. These men recognized that their personal opinions and preferences shouldn't sway the choice. And they knew what's still true today. God sees the heart. God knows you and everyone around you. He sees it all. Nothing is hidden from him. Now, let's join Pastor John in the book of Acts, chapter 1, as he continues his message, Preparing for Power.
They were waiting for power, but they were prepared for power by obediently waiting on God and spending time in prayer. Now, what a great ingredient for us. Waiting on God and waiting in prayer. Waiting on God, spending time in prayer. Prayer based on the fact that Jesus has ascended into heaven and he's exalted at the right hand of the Father. Interesting, those who prayed, the men prayed, the women prayed, the apostles prayed, and then 120 disciples gathered together in the upper room, they prayed, and then we see the new converts were praying when they came to the Lord. So they were united. In verse 14, it says they were all with one accord, and that's again a repeated phrase that you find through the book of Acts. As they were united in prayer. It would have been very easy for them at this time as they're waiting on the Lord and waiting for the promise of the Father, Acts 2, that they could have gotten in fights and divided and got bickering with one another. But instead, they waited and prayed, and that brought unity and fellowship among them. So the purpose of prayer, too, was that they would find God's will in electing a new apostle who would take the place of Judas Iscariot. Now, the second thing they believed in was not only prayer, but they believed in the scriptures. Verse 15 to 26. Follow with me, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And he said, the number of them together were about 120. So a lot more than just the names listed right here. And I thought about that. I wondered if Nicodemus was there in Acts chapter 2 up in the upper room. I wondered if Joseph Arimathea was there. I wondered if Jairus and his little girl and his wife were there and some of the people that Jesus healed were there. Wouldn't it be neat to actually know? Maybe when we get to heaven, we can interview people. Hey, were you there? I mean, were you one of the 120 in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost? So the number of names together were about 120. Verse 16, men and brethren, Peter says, and here's the point, this scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field, verse 18, with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. That's in the Bible. I just read it. Don't get upset with me. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, inasmuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Adulsama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric, or his position, his leadership, another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And so they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and another one named Matthias. And so they prayed. Here they were praying again. And they said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas transgressed and fell, that he might go to his own place. And so they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, they were gathered together, they were praying, they were waiting on the Lord, and Peter stands up. Go back with me to verse 15. In the midst of the disciples, and he says, verse 16, Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. You see, they believed the Bible. They believed the scriptures. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the Holy Spirit. They believed in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they believed in prayer, and they believed in the scriptures. These are elements that we as Christians need to hold on to. It's interesting that Peter says the scripture must needs have been fulfilled. In other words, what God has spoken cannot be broken. God said this would happen. Now, it could be that they were a little kind of concerned, like, how could it be that one of us, that Jesus actually chose to be one of the disciples, could actually betray him and turn away from him? How could this happen? And what Peter's doing is saying, look, I'm not sure I can answer that question, but I know that God is in control, that God was not caught unawares, that God knows what's going on, that the scriptures prophesied and spoke about it. In Psalm 41, verse 9, David, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, My own familiar friend, who I've eaten with and we've eaten bread together, he's lifted up his heel against me. And David was talking historically about a man by the name of Ahithophel who betrayed him. But Peter now understands he had a prophetic fulfillment in Judas Iscariot. Now it's interesting that David was actually the one through whom the Messiah would come. And so there's a sense in which that David becomes kind of like a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. And those who persecuted David and came against David, kind of a picture of those who would come against the Christ, the Messiah. But here we see clearly that the scriptures that fulfilled in the historical setting was Ahithophel betraying David, but they saw it as a fulfillment of Judas Iscariot, that God was in control, that Judas was actually fulfilling the scriptures that God had spoken back in Psalm 41 and verse 9. For he was numbered with us, verse 17, and hath attained part of this ministry. Now, he gives us a little history about what happened with Judas, and it's pretty graphic and pretty radical. This man purchased the field with his reward of iniquity. Now, some say, well, how did he purchase the field? He hung himself, he was dead, and then the money was taken and he purchased a field. The answer to that is it was purchased with his money. So Judas was given 30 pieces of silver, you remember that, to betray Jesus. And then in the end, he felt that remorse and he went back to the priests and to the religious leaders and he said, I betrayed innocent blood, and he threw the money on the ground and he walked out. Well, they collected that money and they used that money to buy this field there where Judas would actually hang himself, and they would purchase that field and it would be called the field of blood, verse 19. Now, whether it was called the field of blood because they purchased it with the money that Judas used to betray Christ, or whether it was already called the field of blood, the Dalsama, we don't really know. But here's the thing that confuses some people. It says, falling, verse 18, headlong, he burst asunder in the midst. And King Jimmy is quite graphic there. All his bowels gushed out. You go, well, doesn't the Bible tell us that Judas hung himself? And the answer is yes. It tells us Judas hung himself. You go, well, how does this work? Is this a contradiction of what the gospel tells us? It's actually Matthew's gospel that tells us that Judas went out and hung himself. So I believe that the most logical explanation and reasonable explanation is that either that the rope broke and he fell on the rocks below, or the rope was cut to get him down and he fell on the rocks below. So we know that both are true. He hung himself and he also fell or slipped out and he hit the rocks below and he burst asunder, I guess you could say. So there's really no contradiction to the story there in verse 18 with the gospel accounts. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, and they purchased the field with that money that Judas had given back. And then he quotes from some other scriptures. So first he says the scripture must needs be fulfilled. So it's all under control. God prophesied. God spoke through the mouth of David. And interesting that David was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he quotes from two other psalms in verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or his office let another take. He's quoting from Psalm 69, verse 25, and Psalm 109, verse 8. So if you look up those psalms, he's kind of drawing from both of those psalms, Psalm 69, verse 25, and Psalm 109, and verse 8. Now, they believe because Judas fell into sin and turned away, that his office had to be filled. And I say that because it's interesting that later on when the apostles would die, James would be beheaded, that they didn't say, hey, we got to fill his office. We got to get another apostle. It wouldn't happen again. Evidently, in preparation for the promise of the Father, Acts 2, they felt like there needed to be 12 of them. And so they wanted to elect another apostle to fill this place. And a lot of raging debate as to whether or not they were in the will of God or out of the will of God, whether they should have got an apostle or they should have waited, whether Paul was that apostle or whether it was really Matthias. And all of the debate is kind of a waste of time because the Bible doesn't really say. I tend to believe that they were in the will of God, that Matthias was the man that God chose. They prayed about it. Based on the Holy Spirit not being there, they cast lots. They did the best they could. And they asked God to, out of the two, which one he had chosen. They wanted God's will. And I believe that God answered the prayer and that Paul came along later and that he became an apostle, but not one of the 12, that he was one born out of later time. And he was in a kind of a different category. He would be sent to the Gentiles. And that Paul never really claimed to be one of the 12 apostles, but indeed he was an apostle called by the Lord. But let me point out in verse 21 and verse 22, that in electing a new apostle to take the place of Judas, there were two qualifications. In verse 21, he says, therefore, the men which have companied with us all the time that our Lord Jesus went in and went out. So qualification number one was he had to have been with them and the Lord from the beginning, all the way back to the baptism of John. Now, these two guys that are chosen here, the one is Barsabas, surnamed Justus, the other Matthias. You don't read about them in the Gospels, but evidently they were around. They went all the way back to the baptism of John and the whole ministry of Jesus. So the inference is that they could not be a newcomer. They couldn't be newly planted. It is important when you talk about spiritual leadership, very important that it not be a new convert or a newcomer. When people come to our church, we don't want them being strangers to immediately get involved in ministry. You know, settle down and make sure this is where God's called you. Understand who we are, what we believe. Let us get to know you and you get to know us, and then get involved in ministry. Make sure you're not newly planted. When it comes to a pastor, the Bible says not a new convert. lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So first qualification, not a newcomer, had to be around for a while. He had to be back from the good old days. And then verse 22, it says, being from the baptism of John at the same day that he was taken up, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Here's the second qualifications for this apostle. He had to have experienced and seen and witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had to have seen and experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of the reasons why I don't believe that there is a succession of apostolic authority in the church today. I don't believe that there are apostles that contain apostolic authority to write scripture, to continue writing scripture, or speak with apostolic authority. I don't believe that they would meet these qualifications, being with us from the baptism of John until his ascension and having witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now again, uniquely, and I do say uniquely, Paul the Apostle did see Jesus Christ. He had a vision of Christ. He experienced Christ. He encountered Christ. So you might say that Paul had a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ, maybe different than the 12 initially during the 40 days, but Paul did see the resurrected Christ. But he didn't accompany them. He wasn't with them from the beginning, so he didn't meet qualification number one. So they appointed the two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and it's a good prayer. They said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Now some wonder why there were only two for the Lord to pick from. And it could be that only two met the qualifications. Or it could be that maybe they prayed and it kind of narrowed down to these two. I don't know. But we do know that there were only two, and they prayed from the two, Lord, which of these two? And the focus in their prayer was, God, you know their hearts. I think that's an awesome thing. What's important isn't necessarily gifting and ability. That's important. But God looks where? God looks on the heart. How does man look on the outward appearance? When we think of a leader, we think of somebody that's tall, handsome, and good-looking, and, you know, charismatic, and dynamic, and you know, that's the leader we want. And yet God knows, because he sees the heart. And the heart is what's important. When God called David, he was somebody that was insignificant, that you would never on the exterior think that he's the next king of Israel. But God looks at the heart. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. And that's a beautiful thought. So he said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. And certainly he does. Show us which of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas transgressed and fell. Notice that was the focus, that Judas transgressed and Judas fell. They didn't say Judas died. They said Judas transgressed and he fell, and they felt it necessary to replace him. And so it says they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. What does that mean? Well, we can't be absolutely sure what method they used of lot casting, but it was a common practice and something they did in the Old Testament. They would actually have sometimes colored stones. They would have a white stone or a black stone. And they would put it in a pouch, or sometimes in the pouch of the priest, the Urim and the Thummim, and he would reach in and pull one out. And if it was a black stone, it'd be no, or a white stone would be yes. But they devised some. It's basically what we would call picking straws. You know, whoever picks the short straw, you're it. Or whoever picks the long straw, you're it. But they believe that God would superintend their little, you know, casting of lots, and that God's will and God's purpose would be done. But I want to make a point here, as I mentioned, that not everything that happens in the book of Acts should necessarily be practiced or normative for the church today. And this is one of them. We don't pick our spiritual leaders by picking straws or casting lots. It just doesn't work that way. And no other time in the book of Acts. It never happened again, especially after the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2, which I believe changes everything. That when he comes in his fullness, that they no longer find themselves casting lots to determine, you know, the will of God. And I don't think it's the smartest thing to do for us as well today. I think that we should pray, we should seek godly counsel, we should read the scriptures, and we should make decisions based upon God's word and God speaking to us through his word, and take our time, be patient, make wise decisions. Don't just willy-nilly just, you know, Lord, if today a bird flies over my head, it's your will for me to be a missionary or something like that. I hear people do the craziest things, you know, and I suppose God can lead you in some crazy ways, but you really need to be careful. So they gave forth the lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So I believe that he'll be listed in the New Jerusalem as one of the 12, the foundations that have the names of the apostles, that it will be Matthias' name mentioned there. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the nations, and that Matthias would be part of that group, but that Paul was an apostle that would come much later. And he was numbered with the apostles. Now, I've titled this message tonight, Preparation for Power. And I want to point out, as I opened up tonight, the things that they believed in that prepared them for the day of Pentecost. First, as I mentioned, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw Christ risen. Luke says, by many infallible proofs, we all need to encounter the resurrected Christ. We all need to have a personal, powerful, intimate experience with the resurrected Christ. And then they also believed in the Holy Spirit. And we do well to believe in the Holy Spirit and in his power and surrender to his power, to yield to his power. And then thirdly, they believed in the second coming as the two angels appeared on Mount Olivet and said, the same Jesus that you've seen go is going to come in like manner. So they were motivated. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. We can never lose the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't ever lose that blessed hope. It's a motivation to purity and to getting out the gospel. So their sins could be forgiven. Christ is risen. They could have power to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit would come. And they believed and they had hope that Jesus Christ would return, and we have that blessed hope. And then they prayed, and that's what we need to do as a church. We need to pray. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they kept praying. And we need to be a people of God who pray and pray for God's will and pray for God's purpose to be fulfilled. And then they search the scriptures. Peter says, it must be that these scriptures be fulfilled. And we must be men and women of the Word of God. Amen? People of the book. And that's another line that you're going to find through the book of Acts, all the way through the Acts, is that they search the scriptures and they preach from the scriptures and they believe the scriptures. They were people of the book. People of God's Word. And that's what we want to be as well.
Waiting is hard, but sometimes it's where God needs you to be. The question then becomes, what are you doing while you wait? Today you heard about the followers of Jesus as they waited for the gift he was sending. The power of the Holy Spirit. In that time, Pastor John shared that this group came together in worship and, more importantly, in prayer. They prayed for decisions big and small and waited for the Lord. As we wrap up today's edition of Revival Radio, let's talk with Pastor John about another way you can connect with us.
Yes, if you're in Menifee area, I'd love to have you join us at Revival Christian Fellowship. We are blessed to study God's Word together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. At Revival, we offer ministries for the whole family, including youth, children, young adults, as well as studies for men and women. If you're looking for a church where the whole family can grow in God's Word, visit our website at revival.tv for service times and directions.
The next time you join Pastor John in his study of the book of Acts here on Revival Radio, you'll experience an event like no other. You'll be witness to the moment the Holy Spirit came on the early believers, changing the course of the church forever. It's an incredible moment that the followers of Jesus had been waiting for, and it began a movement of the gospel like no other. Get ready to hear about the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.